You know, last Sunday morning, as we continue to work our way through the Gospel of Matthew, we read a summary passage that speaks of the work and way of the Messiah. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36 tell us that Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. These verses invite us to reflect upon the work of Jesus, who went around proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom and ministering to hurting people. Last Sunday, we specifically noted his deep compassion for people. How he saw their distress, cared about them, and wanted the best for them. Now, if we're followers of Jesus, we are led to share his concern and care for people, to see who Jesus sees, to perceive the needs Jesus perceives, and to love as Jesus loves. This morning, his words challenged those who would follow after him to move beyond observation and an inward sense of compassion to a more active engagement. You see, as we increasingly care about what Jesus cares about, we're encouraged to engage in the work of Jesus by means of prayer. As we continue in Matthew chapter 9, look at verses 37 and 38. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Now notice, after seeing the people dispirited and distressed, like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus asked his followers to pray, to ask, to beseech, or even to plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. The words of Jesus lead us to engage in his work through prayer that sees the tremendous possibilities. In verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful." The words of Jesus challenge us to see the vast opportunities around us. Jesus envisions a field with a plentiful crop in need of harvest. A crop that is ripe, a crop that is ready to be brought in, and indeed there is great potential an opportunity in our world today. The life-changing and eternal life-giving power of the gospel is as real and as active as ever. The uncertainty and suffering of our world are causing more and more to seek that which is true, lasting, dependable, and hopeful. This year we've entered into a partnership with Baptist Church in Ternopil, Ukraine. As part of that partnership, I meet monthly online with a pastor named Igor Bilarus. And he has shared with me some of the hardships that he and his nation face in this time of war and the suffering to which they are subject on a daily basis. They encounter brokenness all around them. Sirens creating a sense of apprehension. The sound of missiles and drones flying overhead, and daily funerals related to the conflict. And yet, even in such a dark time, he indicated that many doors are opening and many opportunities exist for ministering to soldiers, to those who had been wounded, to widows who had lost their husbands or children who had lost their parents, to refugees who have been displaced. And many are increasingly hungry for the good news of the gospel. Many are desperate for the hope Jesus provides and the difference only Jesus can make. And I think about the opportunity we'll have this week right here on our own campus, with over 200 children expected to be a part. The harvest is ripe. It's right in front of us. And yet the image of the harvest reminds us that this time is limited. The harvest lasts only for a season. Soon the opportunity is going to be gone. So Jesus stresses the urgency of the work, that the time is now. There's a growing readiness among people to receive the gospel. There is indeed great opportunity. And prayer that sees the possibilities will enable us to avoid being distracted by the obstacles. We may be tempted to focus on our limitations. In a world of overwhelming need, we may seem very small and insignificant. Our resources and capabilities may seem very limited. Such a task is going to require so much effort, so much work, so many people that it can lead us to feel like it's insurmountable. And we may be discouraged and disheartened by the barriers or hindrances. But I think about the time in which Jesus led. In New Testament times, many faced the legalistic spirit and the hostility of the religious leaders, the apathy of so many who were indifferent, the paganism and at times the oppression of the Roman government, and the vast needs of the endless masses. All of those could have led to a sense of hopelessness and despair. But it's interesting to me that Jesus didn't complain about all that wasn't right in his world. He saw the opportunity in the fields. See, during a harvest, farmers have breakdowns. Farmers have obstacles and setbacks. They face weather delays and problems with equipment. Some days and some periods are very slow going. But farmers don't focus on the hindrances. They keep plugging away at the work, knowing that if they just stay after it, the harvest will eventually be gathered in. In the same way, Jesus didn't focus on the obstacles. He focused on the possibilities. When you look around at our community, what do you see? When you look at the spiritual condition of our world, what do you see? Many see a declining church culture, a waning spiritual climate. But when Jesus looks at the world, he still sees the possibilities. He sees thousands in our own community without the hope of the gospel. He sees countless people without the nurturing relationships found within a church family. So instead of moaning and groaning about the sad state of affairs in our world, Jesus saw the harvest that is plentiful. He saw the possibilities in the world in which he lived, in the circumstances that he faced. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus still sees a harvest that's plentiful. May our prayers lead us to see the possibilities that Jesus sees. And Jesus encourages us to engage in his work through prayer that recognizes the great need. In verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The great possibilities are met with a but. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So there is a problem. The problem is not in the opportunities or the possibilities. The problem is related to the number of workers. The harvest needs, and Jesus leads us to pray for people who are willing to enter the fields. If you've ever had a garden, you know that the beans and peppers and okra, potatoes, those kinds of things don't jump out of there and end up on your porch, right? They have to be gathered by those who go into the garden and put in the work. God is seeking those who are willing to go out into the fields. Now, we seek to do this collectively as a church through our regular ministries and ministries like Champs Camp. We seek to do this through our tremendous partnerships that feed the hungry, minister to the hurting, reach the lost, and encourage the discouraged. And hopefully, we seek to do this personally by ministering to people one-on-one and meeting them where they are. You see, the harvest needs devoted Christian people who are committed to the work of Jesus. The unreached people around us need more messengers. The needy need more who will minister to them in the name of Jesus with the love of Christ. So Jesus encourages us to pray for people who are willing to go and to pray for people who are willing to do the work. Verse 37 says, the workers are few. Now, the work of God may have fans in the stands, cheerleaders on the sidelines, analysts with expert opinions in the press box, and Monday morning quarterbacks who know how everything ought to be done. But what the work of God needs is workers in the fields. God's work needs people who will quietly, persistently go about the task of bringing the love of God into the lives of individual people. And that kind of work takes a deep, hands-on investment of time, energy, and effort. Workers who work. Laborers who labor. You know, I think about that image of harvesting. Man, that was a tedious, time-consuming, and laborious work. The work of the harvest demands an investment of time and energy. And Jesus saw the need for laborers. The need is desperate, it is urgent. For if the harvest isn't gathered in, the potential harvest is going to rot out in the field. So Jesus encourages prayer that sees the possibility. And prayer that leads us to recognize the need for workers out in the fields. And finally, Jesus encourages us to engage in his work through prayer that depends on God's intervention. In verse 38, Jesus said, therefore, beseech or plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. In light of the great possibilities, in light of the tremendous needs, he says, ask, seek, pray, yes, even plead with the Lord. Plead with the Lord. Sometimes we may try to make things happen. We depend on our own ability, our own wisdom, our own power or plan to try to manipulate and control people and events. Sometimes even the movement of God. But Jesus leads us to seek, ask for, and depend upon God's intervention. Because if there's going to be a great harvest brought in, it will not be because of our goodness, our great ideas, our noble efforts, or our ability to orchestrate it and bring it about. It will be because God moves mightily in our midst. As a result, let us pray that God would raise up workers. As God opens our eyes to the harvest, let us pray that God would call people to participate in that work. Let us pray that God would put it in the hearts of people to be a part, be involved, and give themselves to it. Let us pray that God would move among people He'll put opportunities on our hearts. And when God moves in that way, I want you to know that's fun. That is fun. Because God often raises up some of the most unlikely people to do some of the most unlikely things. As a pastor, I've often wanted to pursue a particular work. And I would approach someone that I thought would be a logical choice to lead based upon personality, gifts, or abilities. Guess what? Often God has someone completely different in mind that he calls out, he raises up, and he puts to work. In the past, I've had people who weren't even church members come to me with ideas about ministering within and reaching out to the community. And the greatest thing was that they didn't come saying, well, this is what the church ought to do, or this is what you ought to do, or this is what someone ought to do. They said, this is what I would like to see the church do, and I'll be in charge of it. God has opened my eyes. He has moved me to care. I have been praying, and he's moving me to lead. You see, it's fun to see how God works, to be able to see how God moves. Because God is in the business of raising up workers. I love the history of this church. I mean, from this church, God has raised up countless people. People like Bud and Sarah Stevens, who I actually met when I was in seminary at Hardin-Simmons. People like Dallas and Linda Houston, Bill and Ann Slaymaker. Countless others in countless roles to join him in his work. We've got a group with us this morning who have been called out and raised up and responded to God's call to come help us this week of Champs Camp. Let us pray that God continues to raise up people to be involved in his work. And let us pray that God would send out workers. That as people discover God's purpose, they engage. They're encouraged. That they're allowed to risk failure. And that they're supported when it may seem slow or discouraging. You know, I return constantly to that image of working in a field. There's not a lot of glamour in working in a field. Sometimes there's not much excitement. Working in a field is a lot of daily toil, doing the same thing over and over again, often with very little visible results. Well, working a field has to seem slow at times. And yet it is through the committed and persistent effort of those who work in the fields that the harvest is gradually gathered in. And without those workers, the harvest may be lost. So Jesus calls us to pray that God would thrust people out of their comfort zones into a world in desperate need. Prayer engages us in God's work by helping us see the possibilities and increasingly recognize the need. But it also reminds us of our need for and dependence on God to move in our midst and do what only God can do. As a result, Jesus encourages us to embrace our call to engage in his work through prayer. A prayer that's not simply focused on ourselves or our own interest or our own good, but a prayer that's focused on the harvest. For that kind of prayer helps us see the possibilities, recognize the need, and depend on God's intervention. This morning, as we think about the ministries we're engaged in, the partnerships that we have here and around the world, and particularly the work that's going to be going on this next week, would you join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, for 150 years of ministry, the people who have gone before us and the work in which they were engaged. Lord, we thank you that that good work continues. Lord, we thank you for our daily and weekly activities and the ministry that is performed for all who are a part of that. We thank you for the work that you continue to do through the lives of individual Christians as they leave this place and live their faith out in the world around us. Lord, we thank you for our partnerships, the many ways that lives are touched, your love is made known, the gospel is proclaimed. God, we praise you for this opportunity this week, for the children who have signed up, for the families that will be represented. Lord, we thank you for those that you've raised up to be a part of this work, for those from our congregation and from these who have traveled so far to be with us. We thank you. Lord, we pray your blessing on every effort that more and more might be drawn to you because of what we do and the way that we do it together. Lord, may you be magnified. May you be lifted up, that all people may be drawn to you. Work mightily in our midst. Continue to call and raise us up for your purposes. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, perhaps you're here and God is leading you to be a part of a church family to say, I need a place to belong. I need a place to grow. I need a place to serve. And if God is leading you to partner with us, we would welcome you to come and join with us here at First Baptist. Or perhaps this morning, God is leading you to respond to his grace for the first time. To say, God, I see your compassion. I see the length that you've gone to reach out to me in love and grace. Come into my life, be Lord and Savior, that I might walk with you from now on. Or perhaps you're here this morning and God is leading you to some kind of full-time Christian service. Or maybe to a particular role or place of service. But God has put it on your heart. He's opened your eyes to that need. And maybe you've been praying about it for a while. And this morning, it's time for you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever you want of me. I'm here to do your will. However God may be leading you to respond, whether there in your pew or here at the front, I invite you to do so as John comes to lead us in our hymn of invitation this morning. Would you stand together as we sing?